Welcome to the Circle 31 podcast. I'm your host, Ayanna Robinson Dixon, and this is the Love Series. My guest today is Charisse Lene Morris. And in my conversation with Charisse, she talks to us about the importance of purity before marriage and how a couple who is dating with intention should honor each other in that time period before they get married. In addition, she also talks about how that premarital period in purity has such a profound impact after marriage. Now, here is my conversation with Charisse Lene Morris.
Hi, everyone. This is Charisse Lene Morris. I am a gospel recording artist, an entrepreneur, and an author. I am joining you from Miami, Florida, and I have been married for over 4 years.
Charisse, thank you for joining us today on the Circle 31 podcast. We're so happy to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
I'd like us to begin our conversation talking a bit about being a single Christian. If you wouldn't mind sharing what you believe what importance purity plays in the life of a single believer.
Purity is really important in the life of a single believer because it's allowing God to just develop the person into who he wants them to be. When you think about purity, it's getting something in its most elementary form. So that's what God wants. God wants to bring us to the place where he designed us to be. And sometimes in the world, as we've grown, there's so many things that we pick up and bad habits and bad mindsets. And so seeking to walk in purity is just saying, God, take this clay and mold it as you may in so many ways. And so as a single person, you want God to speak to you clearly and just wash you. You know, that's what being a Christian is all about. Acknowledging that you were a sinner or that you are a sinner and allowing God to be your savior. And in that savior, as him being your savior, there's like a purification that takes place. Mm-hmm. And then you can really get to the core of who he really created you to be without all that extra stuff, without all those foolish things from your background, from your family history. It's like just God speaking directly to you in the purest way. So it's important.
That's really good. And Charisse, I wanted to ask about, so they're probably, I'm sure there are people listening now who are Christian singles, however they are in a relationship with intent to marry. Perhaps not engaged yet, but they're listening. And wanted to know what you would say to them in terms of the importance of purity, abstinence before marriage, and the importance and impact that would have on their relationship after marriage.
So you want to strive to keep things the way God would want them to be. And God's design is definitely do not have sex before marriage. And there's other things that people do sometimes that are not clean, you know, before God. And so you have to watch that as well. And so one thing that remaining abstinent until marriage will do is it'll allow you and your future husband or the person that you're dating to keep your mind leveled so that you, as you're progressing to get to know each other, to make the right decision and not feel compelled to marry because, oh, I don't want to fall into sin. And then a lot of times those relationships have a lot of turmoil once they get married because they felt like, oh, well, I only married you because God didn't want me to have sex before marriage. And that can be like an ugly situation. If someone is listening and they're in that situation, God can still work it out for you. But, you know, those who are pre-marriage, pre-engagement, try your best to have those boundaries in place so that you honor one another. Because really, this, if you're not married, this is your brother in Christ. Even if you're engaged, even if you're dating, even if you've been dating for a long time, this person is still, in God's eyes, your brother in Christ. You're not married. And if you love the Lord, you want to honor him in the way that you interact with that person. And then after marriage, Purity is still required because now you are, free to enjoy each other's body sexually, but nobody else is invited in this situation. So
Amen.
there's another level of purity. So either way, you have the purity, the purification and the purity and walking with God, it's necessary to live a victorious Christian life. It's required. And it feels so good to be washed. I'm telling you, it feels good. Like, it feels so good. And so if you're dating, talk about the boundaries that you want to put in place in your relationship, and stay accountable to other people. I'll be real with y'all on this podcast today. Like, I had never kissed anybody until I kissed my husband.
Oh,
But then
amen.
I thank God. The only thing I regret is I kind of wish I waited till after I got married, because I feel like it brought another level of pressure to the relationship. It did. It brought of intensity a little. And I remember telling him when we were dating. I remember telling him, I told him, I said, hey, but we were dating. We knew we were going to get married. So we just hadn't officially gotten engaged. But I told him, I said, I'm not coming back to your house until after we get married. We might have been engaged. I'm sorry, I can't remember right now. We might have been, like a marriage thought. I said, hey, I'm not coming back here until we're married, because I don't think that it's gonna be beneficial to you or to myself if we want to honor the Lord. And he had a roommate, and so did I. So I stopped going to his house. If he came to visit me, my roommate was there, and he would leave when it was when it was time to leave. And so, because we wanted to honor the Lord. So it's
That's
better.
it. And you've already, your what you just shared is a segue to my next question, because I was going to ask you what mistakes Christian couples make before pre-marriage, pre-engagement. What are some pitfalls that couples who are intentional about their relationship and are in the direction of getting married, what are some mistakes that they make?
So, of course, one mistake would be having sex before you get married, or doing things that are too that are crossing lines and close to the edge, and just thinking, oh, it's not a big deal. And it is, because the Lord is watching. And you want to, again, respect your brother, respect your sister. Their body is the temple of the Lord, and God has his design of how things should be. So you want to honor each other. One thing I see a lot of young people doing these days that I do not agree with, and I believe is very unwise, is traveling with the person they're dating, town and sharing rooms. That's like dangerous.
My goodness.
That's like putting a candy in front of a baby, and expecting the baby not to eat the candy. So that's something I think a lot of younger Christians I see doing that. They shouldn't do it. I think it's kind of putting yourself in a bad situation if you are trying to honor the Lord with your life. And if you want to go on a trip, just bring a friend, that you bring a friend and he brings a friend, and you guys can travel and be in different rooms. I don't think anything's wrong with that. Another thing is not properly understanding what marriage is and what it takes to maintain a relationship and marriage. I know a lot of times, especially if you're Christian or you grew up in church, you think, oh, one day I'm going to get married, one day I'm going to get married, and it's great, and it will happen for you if that's God's design and your heart's desire. But you do need to prepare. So when I was 15, I wanted to drive a car, but I still had to take driver's ed classes, and I also had to pass a test to drive, right? So with marriage, it's the same thing. You have to try to get that wisdom, learn from older women who are married, read some books, get a good idea of what you're getting into, because it does take something to maintain the relationship long term. And having a good understanding of what marriage is not just a feeling, because a lot of times we focus on a feeling of, oh my God, I love him. I love him so much. I love him. Okay, you love him. Now you have to learn to live together and dwell together, in love long term.
That's good. I wanted to ask you, mentioned misconceptions that that some singles may have before they get married. Now, you're a married woman. You remember being single. So, what are some other misconceptions do you think single, never married people may have? Sitting where you sit now, what are some things that you think that they maybe some unrealistic expectations or some misconceptions about marriage that you think people may have?
So in general, I do know one misconception that some people may have, maybe not Christians, because if you're in a good church, sometimes you get a lot of good teaching on, sometimes you'll get good teaching on marriage. But one general misconception is that you and your spouse will always get along. You will argue, you will have disagreements. You may hurt your spouse's feelings, not on purpose. And he may, or he or she may, also hurt your feelings, not on purpose. 1 Corinthians 13, oh my gosh, I thought, oh, such a beautiful scripture. We put that on in the invitations and we quote it, but baby, we gotta live it after you get married because it's serious. You cannot hold any grudges. My husband did something to me a couple of years ago and I kept thinking about it. But in all fairness, he is responding based on how he knows to respond. It's not, oh, and not a malice, but he responded how he knew to respond. And I already spoke to him about it. It's over. But it came back to my mind again. And it came back to my mind again. And I was thinking about it. And I said, Charisse, 1 Corinthians 13, you bear no record of wrong. He didn't try to, hurt me physically. It's not something so serious like that to keep rehearsing it. No, I have to cancel it, let it go, and walk by 1 Corinthians 13 with what it says. And so I think a one misconception by a lot of people is, there will be no conflict or friction or offense that occurs, and there will be. You have to rely on the Holy Spirit to walk in love, communication to talk it out, and just maturity to move forward in love. Another misconception I think that people that I on this side now that I feel is that you have to do everything together. Honestly, a lot of people are in ministry together. They serve together. They do a lot of things together, but each person is built differently. I heard somebody say, "This is my husband. We are not Siamese twins." So he has his purpose. I have my purpose, and we are walking in purpose together. And so finding what it is that you can do together is important, and then also appreciating what is different. And allowing your spouse to walk in their difference and you to allow in theirs. So I feel like in my marriage right now in this season, that's kind of this, that's really the space that we're in now, that we do have things that we do together, but then I have to remember what God spoke to me. I was born by myself. I received my calling, my commission that God gave me, and we help each other to walk in those things.
That is really good. I would like you to continue with that same thought of maintaining your identity while married, right? Your identity in Christ. And in addition to that, in your uniqueness as an individual, using your gifts and talents that God gave you for his glory.
Okay, so what I believe is that you have to, one, maintain your personal relationship with God. If before marriage you would, it gets a little challenging because now someone's with you 24 hours a day. And then even after you have kids, because we just had a child, we have a 1-year-old now. And so like I feel like I have no time, to myself. But my first love is God, and I have to remember that He is my first love. And so He blessed me with my husband. He blessed me with this baby, the calling that He put on my life, the gifts He's given me. And so I do reserve. I have to push to make sure I have time for Him because it's also breathing life into me so that I can minister to my family. And so, one thing, like I said, the first thing is maintaining your relationship with God and then remembering what you're called to do. If you don't know what it is, you sit down and you talk to the Lord, you write down, what am I good at? What do I like to do? Finding what it is that your specialty is or your gifting is, and then finding opportunities to use them. And like I said, if you're a spouse and you kind of have the same gift or calling, you could do that together. But then whatever's different, whatever things that you do that he doesn't do or she doesn't do, then you also work on those as well, just so you can maintain, like you said, maintain your own personal identity, because you are two separate people. He made he two become one, but they're still two.
Now, I wanted to ask if you wouldn't mind sharing a scripture that's in that has been inspirational. I know there's probably several, but perhaps one in particular that you would share with us and then share the impact that that scripture has had on your life.
Of course, the scripture that has carried me for so many years and still is impacting my heart is Jeremiah 31:3, and it says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness I have drawn you." And it just reminds me of how much God loves me. You know, it's nothing that I've earned, it's nothing that I can do to not have his love. He loves me just because, and he's drawing me closer to him. So that is one of my favorite scriptures.
As we wrap up our time together, would you mind? You're a Christian creative, so I'd love for you to share with us your projects. What you have out there and how we can enjoy what you've created.
Okay. First of all, I have a single out. It's called Reigning, REIGNING, Reigning. Reminding you that God is reigning, and this song is available on all music streaming platforms. The music video for Reigning is available on my YouTube channel, which is Charisse Lene TV. I also have my first book that is out. It's Worth the Wait: Poems to Encourage Young Ladies in Abstinence Until Marriage, and that's a book that's impacted a lot of women. And believe it or not, even men have come up to me and told me that the book has really blessed them. That book is available on Amazon.com. Again, it's Worth the Wait Poems. Worth the Wait Poems to Encourage Young Ladies in Abstinence Until Marriage. Other than that, they can follow me on Instagram, Facebook at Charisse Lene Morris. And I do have some upcoming projects and courses that I'll be offering.
Okay, give us one more time where you are on all the social media platforms.
So I'm on Instagram, excuse me. You can find me on Instagram at Charisse Lene Morris, Facebook at Charisse Lene Morris, and YouTube at Charisse Lene TV.
Perfect. Charisse, this has been extremely enlightening, encouraging. I appreciate your straightforwardness, your honesty. And I know that our listeners have been blessed hearing you. So thank you so much for being a guest today on the Circle 31 podcast. And we're so happy to have you as part as one of our many guests on the Love series. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That concludes today's episode of the Love series. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. Visit our website at Circle31InternationalWomen'sMinistry.org to sign up to receive podcast updates. And as a thank you for signing up, you will receive the 28-Day Love Series Devotional Guide. Check out our YouTube channel for the Love Series playlist. It's a collection of our guests' favorite songs. You can find us on YouTube at Circle31Women's MIN. That's Circle 31 WOMENSMIN. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Thank you for joining us today.